Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
Rumours say this is episode 399, top of the day to you, Steph.
I've come to celebrate with this voice.
Might just turn your microphone up a bit.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go much louder than this. Hooray, everybody says around me.
You know what I think is really funny is sometimes, I mean, you know, you can tell, like you personally can tell, but when you have a bit of a cold and you're kind of pretending you don't because you just got lots of stuff on, so you're kind of like telling yourself not that you don't, and then we record a podcast and I listen back and I'm like,
sick, really sick.
That's the one where I was sick.
Yeah.
I didn't think I sounded sick, but I did.
This one happened not long after we recorded last week's episode.
Because you were coughing during last week's.
A lot. And then I remember I went to work one morning and I sounded normal. And about half an hour later, my voice was all croaky. And people are going, oh, listen to your voice. I went, I know. I was normal, but now look at me. And I'm like 5 days later.
You were not this bad yesterday.
No.
You were kind of, it sounded like you had a bit of a, like it sounded like you had a cough. But your voice, I don't, but having said that, if we had recorded, I was listening back, I probably would have been able to tell. But
yeah, I wasn't talking a lot yesterday. Mm. But in the last 3 hours, I've done a lot of talking. Mm, it was good preparation for this.
Oh, that's
it?
True. Yeah, really cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, everyone. You are welcome. The things I do for your ears.
Music documentaries.
I love documentaries.
Have names that often refer to like a song or something by the artist or band.
True.
That'll be the title. Of the documentary.
I said true. Do I get a point?
Of the documentary. And, yeah, you do. Of course you do.
Yeah, I'm up one already.
Congratulations. Anyway, what happens is that sometimes you're like, wonder what the name of that documentary is. And the answer will be given by you because it's going to be a quiz.
Okay.
Yes.
That's difficult.
We are doing it. But, of course, that's all a little bit later on because we've got to get through watching suggestions. I've got a reading suggestion and because we talked about it last week. And, of course, we've got the
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Oof, that was intriguing.
Do you know who inspired me for that?
Me.
You're my inspiration.
Don't make me laugh because I can't. It makes it worse.
Me trying to quiet laugh is louder than your laugh. Okay.
And every time I laugh, Chloe looks at me like
she's worried.
She's not sure if I'm actually just about to cock it. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm laughing at you. And she's like, oh. But she's worried.
She's a bit worried. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay. So, we're in the news, right?
Yeah, do it again.
No. I can't do it because you're going to die from laughter. One to look out for, Cut Off. It's a comedy written and directed by Jonah Hill. And the reason we're going to be interested in it is because Kristen Wiig is also starring in it. She's really good. I always like stuff that she's in. So it's about two rich siblings who are cut off from their parents.
Nice.
And that's probably all I think I need to know at this point. I just think that that's a good premise. I can see her being like confused entitled.
Yeah.
Like just apps like what? What? Why don't I have any money
on my
credit
card? What do you
mean
I have to pay for water?
Yeah. That's right. I thought that was free from the bottle in the fridge.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
You just turn the tap on and it comes out.
That's how it works. Absolutely. So that will be out, I don't know, sometime. They haven't even started filming it yet, but I wanted to just do a heads up. That is one that we'll probably quite like to see, I reckon. What do you think of Jonah Hill?
I think I underestimate him. I think he's quite clever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean that I think he's dumb.
Just mean the fact that he like writes scripts and
yeah, like I They don't go around being like, hey, how good is Jonah Hill?
Hey, guys, what about Jonah Hill? But then when you sometimes look back on the things that you've seen.
Like, that was really that was good.
Like that series, I think it was a limited series on Netflix. I think it was around 2020 because it got COVID vibes about it. And it had Emma Stone in it. It was him and Emma Stone. I don't remember what it was called.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Neither can I, apparently. It was pretty good. I quite enjoyed it. But, yeah, that kind of thing. He was a bit different. Chester's here today. Chester. Hey, Chezzy Bear. He's a good boy dog cat. And I think Eddie's on his way too because I can hear noises and Eddie is... Eddie is not a quiet cat. He just can't be.
No.
There's absolutely no way that he'll ever be able to do that. A music documentary.
Yeah. No, say it properly.
I've forgotten how I said it.
Yeah, me too. I've forgotten.
Documentary.
I watched two documentaries this week, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll hear about them a little bit. Latte. Taun.
Stop it.
Okay, sorry. This one. You sound like a car that can't start.
I know. It makes it worse the more I laugh.
Okay. Do you want me just to talk through? Because if I talk through, you'll...
Will I though?
I don't know.
I don't know because it's really funny.
It's so funny. It's Never Over, Jeff Buckley is a documentary. It's Never Over, comma, Jeff Buckley. And it's out at the moment. It's an independent documentary and is apparently going really well in the independent box office in the US, which I didn't know that they had that, but it makes sense that they would, right? We just never talk about it.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. And, you know, I'm just talking about not the fact that it's doing well on the box office, but I have a feeling we will have to keep an eye out for that because it's going to show up on one of our streaming services. And like those stand-up comedy specials, the music docos are often pretty interesting because even if you just know a couple of their songs.
Yeah, I enjoy music documentaries.
Sorry, I mispronounced it again. A documentary.
I love it so
you'll,
much.
You always end up learning something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know. Did you know that he actually used to fly elephants? And you'd be like, I didn't know. I saw it in a documentary.
And the hardcore fans are like, yes.
You didn't know?
Oh my goodness. I'm looking down on you with shame.
He talked about it once on a B-side track at the end of it, but you had to keep listening for 10 minutes on the CD because it was a secret track. I don't know. Yes, Jeff Buckley. Of course, he had one album before he died. I think he was only like 30. He drowned.
Really?
He's on the Mississippi River. Yeah, and then his family, I think, released the second album of his work, which he hadn't finished. And I'm not a massive Jeff Buckley fan, but once I watched this, It's Never Over, Jeff Buckley.
Comma,
I love it,
Jeff Buckley.
Yeah, the documentary. I will obviously feel like maybe they had other artists.
Yes.
Singing some of the song or like some of the song that was half recorded.
Yeah.
Something like that. Obviously Jeff Buckley fans won't need to watch the documentary to know that. And we'll be shouting at your ear pods right now. That's a weird thing to do. Oh no, you can just look like you're on the phone shouting at someone. It's not weird.
So what, like, is everybody's earpods just on the table and there are just really outrageous fans who are shouting at the earpods?
Even better. That's even better than what I was imagining. Yeah. So much better. I'm angry at myself.
I'm angry at these AirPods.
You!
Oh, they're not earpods?
Oh, no, she started. That car won't start.
Call the NRMA.
Roadside assistance.
She's done it again.
2 hours, you'll be waiting minimum. I'm going to read a quote from somebody and you have to tell me who you think this is. There are a couple of clues. I've justified making Avatar movies for myself for the last 20 years, not based on how much money we made, but on the basis that hopefully it can do some good. It can help connect us. It can help connect us to a lost aspect of ourselves. It connects with nature and respects nature and all those things.
So that's good old James.
Yeah, James.
Did everybody like fall asleep halfway through that quote?
Sorry about that. I just
it wasn't you. I feel like it
more James. So I wanted
more James, and everybody went, what's he on about?
So he basically is saying that, yes, I know that Avatar movies should have just been one, and now I'm making about 14 of them. And I know that I said I'll be making them for 20 years because it's my franchise. And I know that people watch them and then forget immediately what they were about, but they've made billions. So he's going to keep on making them, and he's justifying not that they make money, but because they're better for the world and nature. The Avatar movies are better for nature.
I don't know if I'd be saying that out loud.
It's a bit.
Yeah. Look, let's spin it this way, Jamesy boy.
Okay. Nice nickname.
It's this billion-dollar empire of making movies are creating lots of job opportunities.
For who?
For the unemployed.
That's nice.
For those freelancing creative types who might work job to job.
Freelancers,
movie industry.
Which would be all of them, right?
All of them. Mm. So it's creating jobs for them for the next 20 years. You're welcome.
It's now time to get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Now, we will have a quiz, as we always do, after our watching suggestions, and it's about movies. No, that's a lie. About documentaries, music documentaries, and whether true or false, the title is the real one.
Yeah, okay. I'm on board.
I reckon you're onto it, you know.
Can I tell you about one of the documentaries I watched?
Yeah, could you?
I will, because I'm going to keep it short because I don't know if I should say this. I wasn't captured by it.
Not a fan.
It's unfortunate because I really thought I would be. But I watched on Disney. They have released a documentary on their National Geographic branch about Hurricane Katrina and the race against time. Now, it's about 6 or 7 episodes long. And I understand it was such a horrific moment in time that the storm wasn't just the storm, it was the aftermath of how ill-prepared and absolute mess. However, though, they talked about the storm for probably the first 3/4 of the first episode. And to me, that just wasn't long enough. Like, if this storm was that horrific, build it up a little bit more. And maybe it's the storm chaser in me. Not that I actually go out and chase storms, but I do like a video of things flying around, you know.
You should watch Twister 2. That was released a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think I just like little clips of real stuff. Fair. But it's very interesting because it is 20 years this year since it happened. This late August, 20 years ago, that it happened. And it's insane, isn't it? It's also insane how something that is a natural occurrence can have such a dire effect on a society that is not a brand new society. But it's almost that chicken egg thing. Like, so who's been around longer? Who, you know, are we tracking these storms well enough and these weather patterns well enough? Or is society taking over? And there's this interesting thought of a particular scientist had been in that area for maybe 6 or 7 years prior to the hurricane, and he had noticed how natural environments that would block these storms or diffuse these storms had actually been taken away for industry.
Okay.
And so you think, oh, my gosh, like, the planet is so incredibly clever on its own, isn't it? You know,
and it's just one man trying to explain this, and they're like, "Nah, but this makes $20 million."
Yeah, exactly. And you cannot fight against that. Like, these factories and these industries are so connected to how humans live. We all have a piece in the fact that that factory is there, but that factory is now ruining these Everglades. And it's just, it was really fascinating.
Did you get through all of them?
I didn't. I'll be honest, I didn't.
That's a lot. Six or seven. How long were they? Like an hour long?
Yeah, about 45 minutes, an hour long. And that's, to me, I thought, it's a really heavy topic at seeing how awful this event was for so many people and for the underprivileged. It was hard to swallow. But I thought, where is it going to go for another six episodes? And maybe I'm underrating it. Maybe I should go back and give it a go. But I would have preferred more information about the storm itself before it moved on. But it was like, storm's coming, get out of the way. Oh, you couldn't get out of the way because it was impossible for you to get out of the way. Storm hit. Oh, next day, the storm's gone.
Sometimes I think, and maybe this is what you're leaning towards, sometimes I think when you watch a documentary that has episodes like that, and you get to a certain point and you're like, I just wanted to kind of know a bit about it. If I watch more, I'm going to be an expert, and I just don't know if I want to use my time becoming an expert on this.
You also want to be have a guarantee that if I sit down and watch these next three episodes, I'm going to learn something new. Not like you're not just going to keep hitting the same thing over the head for the next three episodes. There's got to be enough in these episodes to keep going. But also sometimes I feel like they assume you know more about it. So they race through parts of it in episode one. You're like,
that's interesting.
I'm not an expert. It was an awful event that happened on the other side of the world 20 years ago. Maybe you could teach me a little bit more about it.
All right. So that's on Disney.
It's on Disney.
Yeah.
I'd be interested if anybody else taps into it and tells me to go back.
Do you want me to tell you about the documentary that I watched?
Oh, my gosh. I am loving documentaries.
I go walking in the middle of the Billy Joel and So It Goes was a two-part documentary that was on HBO.
That's a good length too.
Yeah, but can I tell you in total how long those two episodes were?
What?
5 hours long.
No.
It's 5 hours. That could be five episodes. So do you know what I did?
Okay, so we've really got to talk to documentaries and just be like, and say, make your director's cut, but then cull it for wider viewing.
I mean, if you were a Billy Joel fan, 5 hours, they were talking to everyone. They were talking to him. They were talking to, you know, old best friends when he was growing up, his first wife, his second wife, you know, just his sister, like everybody was being interviewed. And I'm coming from it like I know some of his songs. Yeah. This will be interesting because I'll get to know a bit more about the man behind that. And the first part was good. It was a bit, it dragged a bit. Yeah. Watched it in two parts. And then the second episode was sort of him meeting Christy Brinkley and doing sort of, you know, Uptown Girl.
So they kept all stuff for the second episode.
Yeah. And but having said that, there were songs in the first that you were like, well, I was like, oh, that's him. Or, that's right. I forgot that, I didn't realize it was from so long ago. Because I don't have a timeline of his, I don't have a chronological timeline of his discography. I have no idea. But 5 hours, I kind of, after a bit, I was like, I'm halfway through this second episode, which means I've watched about 3 hours of this. I think that's enough of
that's
learning
like waiting
about Billy
for a
Joel.
Madonna concert to start.
It's a wonderful way to document, because it's a documentary, his career and his life in his words and those around him. Oh my gosh, it's a bit much. It's a bit much.
Yeah.
So you said you watched a second documentary. Was it that one? And did you watch all 5 hours of it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't set out to watch two documentaries this week, but I saw this second one being advertised. Actually, no, I saw it being spoken about online, and I thought, well, I'm going to go and look and see if that's available here. And it was. It's another Disney documentary. And Disney, you know how I always say about Netflix documentaries? I love it. I'm not giving it up. I'm not giving it up.
That's good.
Netflix.
A Netflix documentary is so much different to a Disney.
Yeah. There's a different formula happening, and I'm enjoying the Disney documentaries. I watched the Disney documentary called Last Take, Rust and the Story of Helena. So this is the documentary.
About the movie.
About the movie Rust, where under awful circumstances, accident circumstances, Alec Baldwin, during a rehearsal for a take, pointed a gun that had live rounds and shot, and the bullet went through the, I'm going to forget, I don't think she was the assistant director. I think she was the
cinematographer, was she?
Director of photography, okay. Or, yeah, cinematographer. It went through her and it hit the director. So it hit the two, like, essentially main people of the production. And as I said, it was during a rehearsal. In any film set, there are never supposed to be live rounds, and there are jobs where people are the armourer to look after any of the weapons and to make sure that the set is safe. And unfortunately, Helena Hutchinson passed away not long after being shot, like while being transported to hospital. It, like I said with the Hurricane Katrina one, this one kind of raced the story only a little bit. It definitely gave more information than the Katrina one did, which I thought was good because it not solidified, but it gave precedence and respect to what was her story, and it was her film. And I think that was really important. There were little bits in it that made me feel kind of uneasy watching, and I wasn't sure the feelings I was feeling, but they started the documentary saying they wanted to tell Helena's story of her life and her work and all of this, but they can't tell her life work without telling how it finished. And it did really feel like her family were trying to make a bit of coin on it, and it just had a little bit of an icky feeling about it, particularly in that so many people suffered in so many different ways because of this. Like, if you put yourself in Alec Baldwin's shoes, how can you ever go on from that? You know, it just feels really,
yeah.
It's one of those things that you go, yes, so many people should have looked after it, but it still happened.
Yep.
And you know, people are saying, well, he shouldn't have pulled the trigger because it was a rehearsal, but there shouldn't have been bullets in there. So, like, why would he ever think there is? And people have said, like, it's not an actor's job to check. It's really interesting because it does follow the court cases, the civil and the criminal court cases towards the end, which were really interesting about it, but it was a very uneasy feeling watching it, but I am glad that I watched it. I feel like the story of the media really infiltrated where it shouldn't have, and it changed people's lives, and it was a very interesting documentary. Mm. I'd suggest having a watch of it. Oh. But also I feel like we heard so much about it, but we didn't hear the ending.
No, we didn't. You're right.
So it was nice to have. Yeah.
So it's finished.
It's finished.
Nice. I mean, not nice, but.
No finish, but it came to a nice conclusion because they all decided that it was Helena's work. She had worked so hard on it, and being the professional and the creative that she is, she probably would want it to be finished. So they've actually gone to finish and gone back to finish it. And the person who stepped into her shoes, you know, the gravity of that kind of responsibility.
Yeah, that's full on.
It's full on. But I don't know if I'd watch the movie.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I will.
I don't believe that it's the kind of movie we would watch.
Okay.
So that might get us out of that.
Okay. Do you want like a more feel-good, cozy thing?
Yeah, please.
All right. So Penguin Books Australia have sent us a lovely book, another Japanese book called The Healing Hippo of Hindone Park. So it is by the same author that wrote What You Are Looking For Is in the Library, which we read maybe last year, I think.
No.
Was it this year? Oh, wow. Prolific. Michiko Ayama is the author. And so it looks ridiculous. Like, the cover looks really funny. It's got this cartoony looking hippo. It's a pink hippo in the middle of a kid's playground.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's an old hippo. toy hippo, one of the, you know, the kind of thing that kids sit on and it moves around and you can sort of ride it, if you will, at an old
climb
at an old,
ride.
Yeah, exactly, an old park. Yeah. Anyway, apparently this one, though, if you touch the part of the hippo that you're having problems with on your body, so, for example, one of them had a problem with their ankle and their leg, so they went up there and they said, oh, please, you know, and then the hippo then helps you feel better and also figure out what's wrong.
And how to overcome it yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's I think, about five different stories off the top of my head, if I can think of them. And they're all a bit different, but they're all a little bit connected in a way, which is nice.
I really enjoyed that without following any of the same characters or even the same place, it has that formulaic feeling that the other one did of what you're looking for is in the library. That I thought, if this is what she does as a writer,
happy.
It is such a lovely series of short stories that are interwoven so delicately, but it makes you read each chapter going, oh, who's the next one going to be about?
What's it going to be about? Yeah. So I read some of them, and when I finished the chapter, I was like, oh. You know, you smile like, oh, nice. Yeah, and you kind of, what I would do is I'll just read a couple of pages of the next one just to get a handle of it. Really, really lovely. A good one to read when you've watched some pretty full on documentaries.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah.
Just to wind down before bed. That's what I was doing. I was reading them before bed. Anyway, would you like to do something that I like to call the quiz?
Please, I would like to. Thank you very much.
It's no problem at all. Quiz time. Music documentary names, true or false?
True. That is what this game is called.
This is called. Yeah. Bonus question.
I'm up to 2
points. You got it right.
Yes.
Wonderwalled, Oasis.
Walled as in ED on the end. False.
Mm-hmm. The real one is called Supersonic Oasis. Ed Sheeran, The Sum of It All.
True.
Yeah, it's boring, right?
So boring.
Michael Jackson's This Is It.
So, okay, I just want to just stop for a second. Because nobody can ever remember what it's called, why don't they just call Michael Jackson Documentary 1?
This is the Ed Sheeran documentary.
Ed Sheeran documentary.
Yeah. So true.
If you don't write this episode up as a documentary, I'll be very cranky with you.
Do that. Michael Jackson's This Is It.
True.
Yes. Fading to Black, The Story of Amy Winehouse.
Oh, my gosh, that's true. No, Fading to something.
No, the song is called, oh, I can't remember what the song's called. Isn't it called something like that? But the documentary from 2015, it's just called Amy. Now, when I saw the name for
exactly
that,
what
it's done the
opposite.
Yeah,
do.
It should. And it was like, okay, we did it. So what I like about that one is Amy, just called Amy makes you think it's just a movie about Amy, but it's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Somebody said, like, it's really good, but it's really sad and full on. It's like watching her slowly.
I think I've watched it. Or is there a more
demise.
Recent one?
Maybe.
Maybe it's called Fading to Black.
Oh,
and it was
it
was very sad. So, you know what it is? And it was a bit the same with this Helena one. The central person is missing and it is obvious they're missing, like obvious that they're missing, but it is such a dark hole. And a missing part of the documentary that you don't hear their voice and that
unlike Billy Joel, where like he was talking about every single part of it. It was great. Just 5 hours was just
too much.
I might get to the end of it. I probably won't. In Bed with Madonna.
True. That's a true documentary.
That's a real proper documentary.
Yeah.
What was the name of it in America?
I don't know.
Truth or Dare.
Oh, that's all right.
And they were like, no, let's have the better one overseas. In Bed of Madonna.
Australia's like, just give it to us.
That one's funnier. You know what the funny one? Let It Be, about the Beatles. It's not Let It Be, semicolon, the Beatles. It's just Let It Be.
I want to say false, but I think it's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So feel like they could have done better.
Yeah, but it was so early into the music documentary genre that I feel like they were the pioneers of the music documentary.
Well,
maybe. Don't quote me on.
Oh, my
You've
goodness.
Already quoted me on. Oh, my goodness. There's just going to be ear pods all over the place hitting themselves. Just
people yelling, tables of ear pods.
I'm sorry.
All the Karens the and Kelvins are out and they're all yelling at those ear pods.
Oh, have you know it was help first.
It's like a red balloon experience. You can buy somebody a gift card to come and yell at some ear pods. Instead of those smash rooms. And
this is way funnier.
Just come and yell.
Oh, my God, it's so funny. So much better than a smash room.
Yeah.
You have to do it. Oh, brilliant. Look. You did really, really, really well. I think you got 100%, didn't you?
Oh, of course. Well, I got 2 bonus points, so I got more than. I am excelling.
We really, really hope that you enjoyed our very special one-off episode about a documentary-a-thon and a book.
Shame it wasn't a documentary.
I could do a documentary about the book. We should go to Japan, interview.
Go to the park.
And go to the park, and if it doesn't have a hippo, draw a picture of a hippo whilst in the park.
Yeah.
Not a picture of a hippo in the park. We are in the park and that's where we draw the hippo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or should we get a hippo in there and then we draw the hippo whilst it's in the park and we're in the park as well?
No, hippos are pretty dangerous.
So maybe we should just the first idea.
I'll just print some pictures and then we can copy.
Yeah. But don't AI it. That's
why would I?
Good. Stephanie, on that note, thank you very much.
Oh, documentaries.